Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 25, sorry. We'll start in verse 25 this morning. And this morning, the last few words of the passage is, God is a consuming fire. That's what I want to touch on this morning, is to have as a warning the fact that God is indeed a consuming fire. In Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 25, "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And in the short time I have this morning, I want to make a couple notes regarding what is said in this verse. First off, that we are indeed warned, just as they were warned in old of the things that were coming. You see that Moses had warned the Israelites, that you see John having warned the people of what is to come. You see Christ having his own warning. In Luke 13, verse 3, we see him say, "Repent or perish." It is a warning to all today that we must all indeed repent or we shall perish, not just on this earth, not just for a time, but for eternal. We should also be careful, because with him being a consuming fire, in Matthew 10, verse 28, it is said that, "Fear not he who can kill just the body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul." So often today we see on social media or in other places these really motivational sayings, these sayings of how God is so loving, which is absolutely true. He is love. He is so full of grace, so full of mercy, the fact that he sent his only son to be tortured, to die here on earth, that is complete and utter love. And to provide us with a way of salvation through that, even though we have no way of earning it, that is mercy. But we see today there are some who will say, "Oh, well, God is just so loving. I don't see how he can send anyone to hell. I don't see how we can have a God that we see in the Bible so loving that he surely would not condemn anyone to hell." Yet we see in this verse that he indeed does. Or there are even those that I've seen that have said, in response to saying that we as sinners indeed deserve the eternal punishment of hell, that in response someone has said, "You shouldn't say that. That is untrue, and what a cruel thing to tell someone." Well, it is absolutely true. And we ought to tell people that that is what they have waiting for them if they do not change their ways, if they do not repent and perish. There is a whole history we can see of God being that exact consuming fire. We know that he does not change. In Deuteronomy 9, verse 3, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3. "I know therefore today that he who goes over before you as a consuming fire is the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you. So you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly, as the Lord has promised you." And go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. We'll start in verse 5. "This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Unfortunately, there are those who will try to say that hell is not a place to be considered, that those who say, oh, well, it doesn't really matter what we do as long as it's done with the right intentions. It's a lot of because so much of the world, so much of the false teachers among the world do not speak on hell. And even when they do, it is just in passing. They do not warn people of the impending doom that is ultimately waiting for them. There was a comic image I saw of, you see a sharp turn on a mountain with a guardrail. And the whole idea is someone saying, that guardrail exists for a reason. Don't go over the guardrail. Don't go over the guardrail. And that person is saying, oh, you just want to hold me back. You just want to control me. You don't actually care about what happens to me. There's no reason that guardrail is there. I can jump over just fine. No, we issue warnings about hell. We talk about hell. We talk about its existence. We talk about why it is important to repent, because we don't want anyone to suffer eternal punishment. Even God has said he calls all to repentance. He wishes no one to perish. But just because he wishes for no one to perish does not mean that he will hold to his word and condemn those at the end who are not faithful and obedient. And there are those who try to pass off hell as, you know, with Dante's Inferno, that has the different levels of hell, that if you just did a little bit bad, then, you know what, hell might not be so bad for you. It might be inconvenient, it might be a little bothersome, but it won't be that bad, and that the worst, most torturous depths of hell is meant for those who were the murderers and the most despicable among us. We don't see any evidence of that in Scripture. We only see that there's one hell, one level, and that it is going to be the end for all. And we should take that as a warning to ourselves that we be careful to not fall into that. Not to get ahead of Stan, but in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. I want you to go to verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And if you go back to verse 10 in the latter part of the verse, we see that they were tormented day and night forever and ever. There are even those who will try to say that hell's not permanent, that after some time the soul will just be annihilated, because I guess that they find some comfort in assuming that if they are doomed to go to hell because they have not been obedient, they have not been faithful, they can say, you know what, I can abide it for some time and then nothingness, because I can't feel any pain if there's nothingness. But yet again, there's no scripture that backs that idea. And it's interesting that this whole warning of God being a consuming fire in Hebrews is then put in with making sure that our worship is acceptable, that it is done in reverence and awe. So much today you see in mainstream Christianity, if you will, that worship has become entertainment. They have the full-size rock bands. They have so much emphasis placed on a production feel. They have the strobe lights, the fog machines. That's not worship. That's not being reverent and awe towards our God. That is pleasing ourselves, and that is putting emphasis on those who are in the rock band. Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, that all things should be done in decently and in order. Because we see what happens when you don't do things decently and in order. Now, in the Old Testament, we have the example of Nadab and Abihu, that they did not do things decently and in order to the way that God had commanded. And what happened to them? They were struck down. Now, God doesn't act so immediately in today's times. But we know that the same fate awaits us if we do not have the same reverence and the same awe towards God and His worship they have set before us. That if we don't worship Him with that same reverence and awe today, then when it comes time for us to stand before the throne for judgment, He will strike us down then for the second death. I have no doubt that this morning, as we have been singing in spirit and in truth, that it has most hopefully been as a sweet aroma to our God. And I have no doubt that Westside in general will always have, and will hopefully always have, worship that is done in reverence and awe and in order. As we continue through with our classes today and with the assembly at 11, let's make sure that as we worship Him, we do so properly, that we do so without the mere going through the motions. Let us be reverent, sincere at all times. At this time, if there's anyone here this morning who wishes to become a Christian, if we need to study with you to help you get to that point, or if you have already studied and you know what needs to be done, we stand here waiting, ready to help you to be baptized, to hear you publicly confess that Christ is your Savior. Or if there's anyone else here that is suffering and struggling and needs the prayers of the congregation, if there's any spiritual need whatsoever, please come forward now as we stand and sing.